Just Vegemite.
So you produce it too? How is that wearing that hat?
That's fine.
Multiple hats.
Well, it feels great because you get to say, you have a lot of say in everything else that normally as an actress they're like, all right, you do that and then that's it. And then as a producer you get to say, hey, let's check out, you know, the first cut and let's have a say and everything from, you know, the casting to the wardrobe, the locations, the trailer, the movie title. It's all a topic of conversation that you can be a part of. So that's all. It's not that you have complete control out of it, but you definitely do have a say in it. So that for me, it feels like a creative say as well, which isn't just like a, you know, business side, but it's also a creative side that I got to have a say in. So
more stressful, right?
Oh yeah. Because you know, you realize that, you know, when actors are late, they just think, oh, well, they just had to wait for me. But you don't know how much money those 10 minutes cost of production. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if a location changes, how much that costs. Or to have, like, that helicopter shot that you guys saw in Senada, you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff costs a lot of money. But, of course, you don't realize that as an actor. And you're just like, oh, whatever, I'll just, you know, goof around and we'll just have another take and it'll be fine. So yeah, you get another perspective on the producer's view of the actors. Thank you so much.
Ben, what was about this project that attracted you the most?
It was the there was this incredible producer attached.
Aside from that.
It was the story. It was kind of, it was, you know, this character in particular, you know, I have a lot of similarities with him as well, but the interesting thing was to sort of, he reacts very differently to things the way I would, you know what I mean? And so having been in those sort of similar scenarios and situations in the past, it was kind of interesting to explore the more adult, I would say, or emotionally, psychologically mature way of handling the situation. So it was primarily the character. I mean, the story's beautiful too, you know. I mean, everybody loves a good love story. They really do. Everybody's looking for it, whether they admit it or not. And this was kind of like, this was a very interesting sort of way of exploring that, I think, and all the different themes of love. I think it was really interesting. Yeah.
And is it a different take on the love stories? Is that one that actually has happening a lot more in this day and age? I mean, I relate a lot to the character, you know, where I don't even know what I want. So have you guys ever been in that type of situation, and how did you guys evolve from it personally?
Have I ever been in Clara Baron's situation? Many times. There's too many women to choose from, I know. No, look, I have, and I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, you always want to come away with something, you know, and provided you're perceptive or you're open to that, I think you will. I mean, I can't speak for your character, but it of course follows, you know, Clara. But I mean, Clara's situation is one that I think a lot of people can deal with, and especially more so now. I think it's brilliant that it's, you know, a young female lead directed by a young female. You know, that story's told properly too, you know. You said you identify with it, which is brilliant. You should. Yeah. It's what
we wanted.
It's what we're going through.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting to you too.
I mean, I don't know that I've been in that exact situation. That's why the fiction is so much fun, because you get to like distill different emotions and situations that you went through and put them into a package that makes them make sense. I think in the end, that's why stories make us feel less alone, because it's a way of channeling our experiences into something that makes us feel like other people understand us. So yeah, not directly, but we all have that emblematic ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend that sort of, you know, did a number on us, let's say that.
So Ben, does the scene really come second? The scenery really come second in Australia?
Oh, dude. Have you been to Australia? Google it right now.
No, I just wanted to put you on the spot.
My actual question. Look, I don't agree with that. That was a line in the film.
I love that interaction because they came up with it. It's one of the only like truly improvised pieces of dialogue. Yeah, I love that.
Was that in relation to the landscape or the film?
The story kind of responds to that question, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no, you know, Aussie.
There's no Aussie lady.
She's dead.
She's American.
Oh, she's American?
Don't
like,
you remember
American?
All the conversation?
Did you read the script?
Backstory.
No, it's it. She took the actor hat on. She got the producer hat on. It's like, money.
Liz was American?
She was American. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, when did we say that in the script? What is it?
Not in the script, they're in the script.
Oh, I can make up my own backstory. My backstory is that she's Australian and he's done with the Aussie, so he comes to have a Mexican. That's my backstory.
That's
my
the alternate ending to the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Asher in Hebrew means strong heart, happy, blessed. Was that on purpose? It seems like it fits your character.
Oh, I love that. That wasn't on purpose, but his surname Grace definitely was.
That's something I really love about Asher is you know that my favorite quality of his is his grace. Funnily enough, and how gracious he is, and how grateful he is, and appreciative, and he's just also a very open person. And it's kind of it's interesting because it can be perceived as sort of like a weakness or a naivety, you know, just actually being that available to this to others.
Nice.
You almost headbutted yourself.
That's awesome. Do you attract
accidents?
That was Liz.
Oh, that was Liz. Wait, that's right. Yeah. I'm not Australian. That's right.
I'm not dead.
Much.
See, this was said basically. She called action and we just wouldn't stop talking. At points, she was like, please just shut up, say the lines. Just say the lines. I remember that in the car, we just kept improvising and you were just like, do this, what it said in the script. You guys already have your take.
Yeah?
You don't remember that?
I don't remember this at all.
It was crossing the border. It was crossing the border, and it was sort of all the time. You were like, oh, the scene finishes.
It's like they did the scene, and then they kept going. I'm like, the scene ended like 17 lines ago. Stop.
Anyway, here, please.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. How much of it was it? I mean, obviously, you have to follow the script and the lines, but how much of it did you improvise on? Like, what parts?
I mean, not that much. I think the couch scene.
Yeah. We just went, we'll record this, and then we just went and made something else.
No, the couch scene, I always tell this story. Yeah, this is an oldish script that I wrote when I was doing my master's in screenwriting at the American Film Institute. And that scene in the couch is one that didn't change practically at all since the first time I wrote it for class.
Are you sure it wasn't in New York? It sounds like a New York story to me.
It was set in New York, for sure. But I mean, the dialogue and the interactions between the characters didn't really change that much. And that scene specifically didn't change at all.
Why does it feel like it's New York?
Like Sex and the City-esque?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, God,
really?
Don't say that. That sounds
really
terrible.
Well, no,
Sex and the City-esque?
Well, in all the good parts, I would
say. Yeah.
Like
a strong, professional, independent woman that is out there. I'm not necessarily Carrie, but... You know, little bit of everybody.
I mean, it happens in Silver Lake.
The reason I mentioned New York is because you were in New York for school as well, yeah?
Yeah.
And you said you wrote at AFI.
I wrote it here in Los Angeles. Okay. But, I mean, I think that's, to me, the universal nature of this story. And I almost like the surprise that you get from that story that is usually a New York girl, blah, blah, blah. Coming from a Latino woman. I mean, I don't like the surprise. It's sad that it's surprising. But at the same time, I think it's important that we are now setting it that way and saying, you know, this happens to everyone, every color, every race, every gender. You know, love is confusing and it's complicated and that's why it's good. And, you know, we can tell this story from the point of view of people that look and sound like us.
I have a question. According to that, was really hard to solve the story because... obviously, for years, Latinos, they are like, no, the professional, independent, pretty woman. It's the opposite. So how you guys figured out to sell this story to the new, you know, audience that you have here? That is, we are woman, independent, smart, with a career, and it's just the housekeeper that came here and get married with the rich guy. So how was hard to sell the story, or how do you guys figure it out with that?
Well, I think to the credit of the producers, it's what they liked about it. Originally, our producer, Francisco González Compián, really wanted to put that story forward. And then when Carla got attached to it, that really was the reason that the movie got made. And to me, every time I had to defend it, which was not often, to be honest, but every time I had to defend it, it's like, you know, who is this person? I'm like, she's Carla. I mean, do we need any more proof that this person exists? There she is. And a little bit, there I am. I mean, you know, we're here.
Yeah. So, is it true that is you, Clara?
No, I mean, in terms of being a strong, independent Latino woman.
No, but I mean, how do you relate to her character?
Yeah, I think emotionally, I think we all have that person who whose memory of is always going to haunt us. You know, that person who, or that relationship that was just sublime and perfect, but then they come in the present and they don't really live up to who they used to be. So I definitely can relate to that. That's emotionally why I really wanted to have that cathartic experience with the movie, because I needed to let go of my, you know, exes. But I did also want to, you know, as a producer, tell the story of an immigrant living in the U.S. where you don't talk about her immigration or her, like, you don't talk about her as a statistic. It's nothing to do with the story. Mm-hmm. It's her everyday average life. And yet she crosses the border like millions of people do, and she speaks English and Spanish, and that's her, you know, that's her life. And she's also proud of her Mexican background. She tells Asher, like, hey, now you have to have like a Mexican grandmother, you know. And she also has patients that are both Mexican, and we cut off of the other patients who are American. And a bit of, you know, the diversity of the movie is something that I also really wanted to bring to the screen. But I was really happy that we got to see this sort of cotidianidad,
everyday life
of an immigrant living in the U.S. As a producer, that's the part of the story that I really related to as well.
One of the things with what you said, I mean, one of the things that I found really strong in the film was family, all about family, which is completely different than your role in
How to Get Away with Murder.
I think
this movie really, you know, Ben was talking about it in Palm Springs when he said, you know, I heard so much about the Mexican value of like the family and the Latino family values, and he's comparing it to Australia, but he's saying like in Australia, like we also have that. And I feel like for the very few times that I've seen it on screen when I was younger, I was like, I don't relate to the stories being told of Latinos. I don't relate to that. And, you know, they've become stereotypes for a reason, but also, like, there's an array of stories of Latinos to be told and of minorities. And I think that whatever is unknown to the general public is then scary for them because they don't understand them. And I think this movie makes the Mexican family known to everyone, and therefore they become less of a threat and more humanized for everyone else in this country.
Was it hard to pronounce your grandma's name?
Definitely not. It rolled off in the film. Surely you could tell. Jacinta.
There you go.
I like that tidbit about your father being from Echo Park. I thought that was a cool little nod.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Everyone in L.A. is like, oh, they love that part.
Well,
it's
a part of the city that I moved to, in a way. Like, I used to live downtown, then I lived in Silver Lake, now I live in the East Hollywood Hills. I think I'm moving west. I have to stop. No, but I think...
Not until you get to the water.
That's true. No, I think it's a part of the city, and I wrote a movie called Echo Park it's sort of all about the gentrification of that area, and just in general, I think it's an interesting historical side of the city for the Latino community.
You're mentioning that the story of your character is one of many, and maybe you didn't relate to it growing up to what you would see on screen, but like you said, it is the story of many. I would say story of my family. So like I couldn't necessarily relate to your character. Maybe my sister, now that we're a little better off and we have the means to live it that way, so I think maybe she would really enjoy it, because she would probably relate more to your character. I probably relate more to your dad's story, like a gardener in Echo Park.
Mojado from Echo Park,
exactly.
With graffiti and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the thing, I think there's something to say about, you know, all the generations seen in the movie. You know, I think the way the mother sort of accepts, I love how she sort of brings this ex back, but it's not out of ignorance, it's out of like, I see that my daughter still needs to have that, you know, inner sort of the growth to close the cycle. And it's not this, you know, story where machismo, you know, is prevalent and it's like, she's mine. And it's a very mature sort of open way for a lot of Latin families to also see, you know, how to handle situations because, you know, still, and I see it still in Mexico when we presented the movie, some people were like, how can the mother bring, you know, or how does she bring the two guys at home? Or, you know, and I think that Catalina brought a lot of that sort of like modern day maturity and open-mindedness to open-mindedness to how the relationships can really work within a family and how you can still be, you know, a professional, successful doctor, but then go home and be like a 15-year-old teenager, you know, because that's me. Like, I go back with my family, and I'm still that little girl who dresses in her pajamas of when she was 13 and still has that dynamic with her family, but at the same time, she's professional, and she does her job well, and she makes money, she pays her taxes, she has all that stuff, but I think that
that's
that sort of contradiction.
Clara doing her taxes.
Yeah.
Don't throw it into DVD. It's accelerating.
Yeah.
She uses TurboTax. Trust me,
the
backstory is there.
It was an extra 30
Last
minutes.
Question, what was your first reaction when you saw the movie after being done with it?
Have you seen it?
Or have you seen it? I'm sorry.
Oh,
have you seen it?
Yeah. I saw the first, yeah, of course. I saw the first cut, and it's...
In my living room.
I want to say, yeah, in her living room is the best first cut. First cuts are normally... First cut is the deepest.
Oh, yeah.
They're the hardest thing to watch because there's no music, there's no color correction, there's no sound. There's, sound, but no, you know, the door opens
the
and you hear the door. Yeah, so I was really kind of like with my Pepto-Bismol, I was ready to go. I was like, okay, I can do this. And I almost always try to remember it's just a first cut, it's just a first cut. And for the first time I finished that and I was like, we're done. We're good. And I was like, this is the easiest sort of, we needed to cut a little bit from it, but, and I think we cut a few scenes and just, you know, but it's in its entirety, it's the script, which is crazy because normally it's a very different movie to what you read. And I even think it might even be better because the script wasn't alive and these actors made it alive. So I'm extremely blessed to say actually the first cut was not the deepest, it was the smoothest. Yeah.
And she doesn't let you talk even in real life.
Yeah,
yeah.
What the hell?
Do you mind if I answer that?
What did you think of the movie, Ben?
I was going to say the exact same thing, actually, that from the script. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
I'll keep it quick.
Finish, yeah.
No, go.
From the, you know, from the script, from the, you know, from the atmosphere on set, from, you know, from cast and crew and everybody, just the general feeling of making the film and all that sort of stuff. It was kind of, I was really, really surprised because I agree. Typically, you jump in there, you start doing anything to do in post, and you're going, oh my God, no, that's not what we did. It's not what we did. But I was actually really, really, I mean, it's what we set out to make.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, I hate watching myself, but it's pleasantly surprising seeing what we set out to do, you know, come to life, exceed those expectations. It was kind of cool. I was happy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you
guys.
Thank
you
so
much.
Oh, my
God.
I was kidding.
I grew up in Echo Park, so I'm watching the movie and going, it's all right. I live in Eagle Rock, so.
I love that staircase with the heart.
Well,
I know you were all like, oh,
yeah, good.
Nice. I'm glad.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.